Namaste. So this question has come about following the talk on the what Savitri Purnima Day that we read from Pururavas, and Pururavas' choice eventually becomes a fault line and how that fault line leads to the invasions. So why does the divine allow this? So there are two answers. One very pragmatic here and the other which is deeper and metaphysical. So the deeper answer is because divine is in ghat, even in the darkness. And he cannot abandon that darkness. So that's the whole, is there implied in the story, that this darkness cannot be abandoned. So souls that are awakened have to take the greater burden of the darkness. So if you take the burden of the darkness, means you have to come in contact with the darkness. You have to fall into it, or the darkness has to rise towards you. So even in yoga, this rise and fall is part of the process. And part of the process, because nothing can be left untouched by the sacred flame. And that he describes in Savitri. That else the soul would have gone, if this rise and fall were not there, the soul would have gone content, abandoning this earth. Just I'll read that line also. So he says about this rise and fall. This fall, now he is referring to this fall, this means the fall. This too the supreme diplomat can use. He makes our fall a means for greater rise. But why fall at all? For into ignorant nature's gusty field, into the half-ordered chaos of mortal life, the formless power, the self of eternal light, follow in the shadow of the spirit's descent. Soul that has touched some higher state falls. And naturally the light comes, and but it has tasted it. So it seeks that again, but now from this poise. So this is how it happens. The twin duality, forever one, chooses its home mid the tumults of the sense. The bright and dark poles, but forever one. He comes unseen into a darker parts, and curtained by the darkness, does his work, a subtle and all-knowing guest and guide, till they too feel the need and will to change. All here must learn to obey a higher law. Our body cells must hold the immortal's flame, else would the spirit reach alone its source, leaving a half-saved world to its dubious face. This is what we see in the story of Pururavas. Nature would ever labor unredeemed. Our earth would ever spin unhelped in space. And this immense creation's purpose fail, till at last the frustrate universe sank undone. Even his godlike strength to rise must fall. That's why Satyavan must die. Because otherwise... And I tell you, it's an amazing experience. I mean, I'm sure everybody goes through it. But when you go through it, at the end, many of you are still too young. When you go through it, there would be a time when you feel almost, how long? And then when you come out and you see the perfection that has been built, you say, oh my God, this is so beautiful. We have to go through that process. Otherwise, you will see this difference. I'll give you some illustrative example. There have been sadhus, yogis of a certain kind who have followed a certain line and self-realized, as they say. They know about their lives, a little bit about. They have those special capacities, they are sitting, they have had that great realization. Compare them to a Pavitrada, Nalinida, Amritda, Pranavda. You will see a wholeness here. And not a rounded something. And not a, oh, what a great realization. And after that, you know, you're sitting with a halo around your head. That is the beauty. You don't know where they are human and where they are divine. So this is why you have to go through this process. Is there for everybody. It's for a greater perfection to emerge. That's why one has to go through the process. And that reminds us to touch upon what really is perfection. Because this is another... People think perfection is an end point. Perfection is not an end point. Perfection is an ever-evolving dynamic equilibrium. For instance, take this example that there is the table chair, there are just 2-3 objects in a room. Or you are arranging cards. Let's take you have 2 cards and you are making an arrangement like you join them together, you can join this way, that way. You have 2 more cards. Now it's more difficult. Now imagine if the cards multiply. If you construct something out of that, it will be beautiful, but more difficult. Now imagine any number of possibilities and you have to construct something out of that. It will be far more difficult, but far more beautiful. So this perfection is an ever expanding wholeness of the divine. For instance, an animal, ape, is perfect within its limits. Human, if he is truly human, is some human beings are like that, you know, perfect within the limits. But they don't have anything else higher. The moment a higher urge comes, the human perfection breaks down. Very interesting. First, you can't just be that typical human being. But then when our spiritual perfection develops, there is a greater wholeness. And then after that, when there is a supramental perfection, and so on and so forth, because after the supramental perfection, there is a constant newness, new elements are coming in, manifesting, and everything is readjusting. We can take it like that, that, you know, any house, you can make a hut simple to make, you can make it beautiful, but if you have to make a mansion, it's far more difficult, but far more rich, complex, and eventually far more perfect. So perfection is an ever expanding, and for that perfection, if you aspire for higher and higher perfection, you have to go through the touching the base. Another example can be, if you want to raise a multi-storied building, of course, not that that's an ideal, but you have to then dig much deeper. It's far easier to construct a hut. So hut has its own charm and beauty, without a doubt. But then if you really want to fill it with beautiful things, people don't understand when they go to Sri Aurobindo's room sometimes, because they are expecting a room of a sannyasi. And you see the cupboards which are filled, mother's room, the lower down when you know, his salon. It's amazing when you see that. And if you observe closely, things, how they're arranged, why they're arranged, the way they're arranged, each object is conscious. So it's far more difficult. But to reduce things, to eliminate things, that the path man has taken. Why? Because it's difficult. Far more difficult. But Sri Aurobindo says that this ideal of the sannyasis, we have to reject now, the ideal of Janak. So Janak is in the world, but not of the world. And that's why even Narad could not understand him. So that's the idea. But for that, he has to go through the process. We see the end point. But Janak has to go through, you know, his daughter's pain, the problems of marriage, all this he has to go through, which a sannyasi could avoid. Or a person living just a normal life without any stress for something higher. He is just leading a life where he lives in a narrow bandwidth. Sri Aurobindo says that also, that those who have very limited possibilities, they have limited difficulties. But those who have greater possibilities, they have greater difficulties, naturally. If you want to just, study, or you want to just play Mohalla cricket, so you have limited challenges. But if you want to play cricket at the international level, you can't afford to be caught sleeping when a pace bowler is bowling before you. Your reactions have to be swift, accurate, which means far greater training, which means many hurts, injuries, falls. So that's how it is. Is part of the process.